97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Jeff Mordock is joining us on the guest line. He's a White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, what was your favorite musical genre? Are you a 70s, 80s, 90s? You're probably a big hip-hop guy, aren't you?
I am 90s. Grunge, alternative, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, all of that.
Oh, so I can do some grunge. I do like some Pearl Jam. Jeremy spoke in class today. You gotta love it.
It's a reflection of when I grew up, you know, and I think it's for everybody, their favorite genre goes back to when they grew up.
I think you're right. I mean, Sue and I are similar ages. She's obviously a number of years younger than me, but we had similar taste of the 70s and 80s that we like. So that was very good. Hey, man, your life just never seems to slow down. It seems like there's always something new going on. I'm just curious when you're talking with your correspondent friends running around. Trump's got a big announcement on a particular subject that he's not going to tell us what the subject is. And the big announcement, biggest ever, is coming on Thursday, Friday, or Monday. It's coming some point. What do you think the big announcement is, Jeff? Where do you think he's going with this?
Well, what I love is it's so super secret, he can't even tell us the day he's going to announce it. It's that secret. That's my favorite part of it. Maybe it's Thursday. Maybe it's Monday. It's so important and so secret, I can't tell you.
I would tell you, but I'd have to kill you at that point. So we're going to have to wait. That's just pretty funny.
We don't know. I mean, speculation is rampant on just about everything. I know he was asked if it was a trade deal. They're negotiating a number of trade deals. He said it's not necessarily a trade deal. He seemed to imply that it wasn't a trade deal. Sometimes he says things to throw people off. So you can take that however you want to take it. I don't know. I've asked other people. They do not know. It seems a lot of rank speculation here. It is right before he heads to the Middle East, so it could be a big announcement, maybe something related to the Abraham Accords. Maybe he's securing another Middle East investment into the United States. Those are just some possibilities, because you'd think whatever it is he wants to announce, he's leaving the country, so he'd want to capitalize that on that week. So it would kind of make sense it has something to do with the Middle East, but what that could be, who knows? Or I could be way off. None of us know.
But it's fun to speculate, isn't it? I mean, it just adds a whole other level of, hey, what else can we find to talk about with Donald Trump? He just keeps coming up with more reasons to stay in the headlines.
Well, he does. And it really underscores his ability as being a showman, you know, that we're going to keep talking about this announcement all week. Our focus is going to be on this announcement all week. And I think he's a master at that. He's a master of capturing our attention. I mean, I've covered going back administrations, these world leader visits, and they're always staid and boring, and they sit in the Oval Office and they have a chat. And now you have these combative, almost WWE-style foreign leader visits like we had with Mark Carney today.
I thought that was pretty funny when Carney even plays along and says, "Now I want to know. I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to find out what the announcement's going to be, too."
But even beyond that, you know, him and Carney kind of having a bit of a row over whether Canada's going to be the 51st state. And you got Carney looking at the camera mouthing, "Never, never, never." And Trump's like, "No, it's going to happen." And Carney's like, "Never." And Trump's like, "Never say never. When I was in the real estate business, people used to say never all the time. And next thing you know, it would happen."
Actually, so, hang on just a second. Hey, Ethan, cut number 9 is Trump going back and forth with Carney about, is Canada for sale? Here's what that sounded like.
There are tremendous benefits to the Canadian citizens, tremendously lower taxes, free military, which honestly we give you essentially anyway, because we're protecting Canada if you ever had a problem. But I think it would really be a wonderful marriage, because it's two places that get along very well. They like each other a lot.
Well, if I may, as you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever. But the opportunity is in the partnership and the and what we can build together.
But never say never. Never say never.
There you go, Jeff. Never say never. I'm not closing the door on this.
Yeah. But it's fascinating, and not just with Carney, but you've seen it. He's had 12 world leaders at the White House, and, you know, the Zelensky thing aside, which was sort of almost a special event,
right?
All the other ones have generated controversy like that, too. It's turned the staid, boring event where they have a couple of canned statements into must-see TV.
Well,
and that's what Trump's doing with this surprise announcement.
He keeps coming up with these different ways to poke the bear, so to speak. Like, what do you think about this whole thing of, I'm going to reopen Alcatraz? Do you think he has any intention of reopening Alcatraz?
No, I think he throws things out there to get the media to move, to get the media to jump. I'll give you a great example is in January, he talked repeatedly about going to Fort Knox, bringing Elon Musk with him and doing an inspection and an evaluation of the gold and make sure the gold is there. And this is all he talked about for a week or two. And then we haven't heard anything about it since.
It's one of those kind of things of, I'm just going to keep throwing stuff out there that you'll go run and focus on that. And while you focus on that, I'm going to do something else over here that you're really not paying that much attention to. It feels like that's the plan. I don't know if it's that coordinated, but it feels like that's what he does sometimes.
Well, I think it really depends on where you're coming from. If you like Trump, you look at it as there is a plan, and the plan is one of distraction to the media, one to keep the media moving and keeping him in the media. If you do not like Trump, you look at it as just chaos and unplanned, and he's just going by his gut. So I think how that shakes out really depends on which side of the aisle you fall on.
So how was the Canadian Prime Minister's visit? How did that go?
I mean, it went like all the other ones that we've seen. It's, you know, it's a show, and I keep going back to this. It's a show now, unlike anything I've seen before with these visits. They pull up in their big limo, and it always cracks me up because the world leaders stay at the Blair House, which is less than a 5-minute walk from the White House. It's kind of across the street, and you see all these limos and all these things drive like 5 feet into the White House gate, which always cracks me up, that you have this massive motorcade to go less than a mile. So you have, and then Trump comes, he greets him at the door, he waves, he gives him a big handshake, turns the world leader around, they pose to get photos, brings them in then into the Oval Office, they'll sit there, gives them all the opportunity they want to answer any questions they want, interject whatever they want, say whatever they want. And there's usually some controversy he kind of gins up during these things, and it's a spectacle. And I don't think Carney was any different from any of the other ones we've seen, where Starmer, the United Kingdom Prime Minister, came in, and they kind of got into a bit of a tiff on free speech in Europe. The Irish Prime Minister came, and Trump kind of went after him a little bit about how Ireland has ripped off the United States on the pharmaceutical industry for years. It's amazing what a show these things have become. Sometimes there's joint press conferences, which, by the way, we never got under the Biden administration.
Well, we didn't get any press conferences really under the Biden administration, joint or otherwise.
True. That's very true. And I think what it is with these is the point is, I think these meetings underscore Trump's America First agenda, because he's bringing these people in, he's giving them a spectacle, and then he's hammering them over what slight he sees their country is doing to the United States. And I think this is another extension. These visits are another extension of his America First agenda.
Well, obviously, the deportations continue to be a level of contention with both sides going back and forth on how's this going to work, who can be deported, what's the process, all of that. But now it seems that Trump is even throwing out an idea that says, hey, I'll pay you if you're an illegal immigrant to self-deport. Have you heard a dollar amount that they're throwing out on that?
I have heard a couple. I have heard 1,000. I've heard 10,000. They've been throwing out a few. Nothing's official. But that, yeah, they've been throwing out decent amounts of money, and that's going to face a lot of legal challenges. I think that will face some legal challenges. I mean, everything he's done in the immigration field has faced legal challenges. I don't see why this would be any different. It'll be also interesting to see where this goes, because one of the questions I have is if he goes forward with this, and another plan he wants to do is go forward with the DOGE checks and start sending those savings back to the American people. And, you know, the constant churn of money coming out of the government under Biden is what raised inflation. And I hope that in this administration, they're thinking, if they're going to give money to immigrants, if they're going to send us DOGE checks, if they're going to send us things like that, they're aware of what the government spending could possibly mean for inflation.
I can't imagine any politician in D.C. voting to have DOGE checks go out. I would think once they have that money recovered from something else, they're going to find something else to spend it on.
I would agree with you, but the way the president keeps hammering this idea makes me think that he's going to try to push aggressively for it. And he does have some, especially, you know, with the Republicans in charge of the House, he has the political capital now to pull that off.
It was kind of interesting at the press conference the other day of, I guess it was the cabinet meeting, I think it was, where Pam Bondi was rattling off all of the different lawsuits against the administration that's been going on so far, and all the different cabinet level lawsuits that they have as well. It feels like, from what you were alluding to there, the Trump administration gets sued if he says good morning. Somebody is going to file a lawsuit against the administration, and Pam Bondi has got to be looking at how many more people can I hire just to defend ourselves from all the lawsuits that are coming in. Is that a topic that you hear covered a lot?
Yes. I don't hear it covered in the media as much, but I see it in the whispers when we talk to people about what this administration can do to fend off lawsuits. And it's, you're right. He says good morning, and there's a lawsuit over it. And what we've got is what I could see them doing is, and I'm not sure if the legality of how they would go about doing this, is what they've got to do is crack down on venue shopping, because these people are finding venues that they know they're going to get a Democrat appointed judge who's going to rule against the Biden administration, or excuse me, the Trump administration, and get all of this stuff and get their way, and then have it meander through the court systems with a temporary injunction and all of that. That's going to have to be the way to crack down on that, is crack down on the venue shopping of these laws. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to go about doing that, but that is, I think, what they're going to look into.
We're talking with Jeff Mordock. He is the White House correspondent of The Washington Times. Jeff, are you a football fan?
Huge football fan.
So I guess it doesn't bother you that it went from Redskins to Commanders. It doesn't matter. Just as long as there's football in D.C., you're a happy guy?
I am, yes.
Now,
and
are you a Commanders fan, or who's your team?
Commanders. We had a good year last year, and we got a good future.
I like that. Well, so Sue, we were just talking about, she's a big Steelers fan. Ethan, I didn't ask you, who's your NFL team?
Skol Vikings, baby.
Okay.
Skol Vikings.
So, you know, the NFL draft has turned out to be a huge spectacle now. It didn't used to be that big a deal at all. And now they literally have a million people show up in Green Bay for a draft, but they announced the 2027 draft is going to be on the National Mall in D.C. How excited is D.C. about hosting this event?
You know, what's interesting is whenever something comes to D.C., I can find one friend to text me and complain about it, one friend to call me and complain. I have not heard anybody call and complain about this. I have not heard anybody on sports talk radio here complain about this. I have not gotten a text from any of my friends complaining about this. DC is over the moon about this. And with the backdrop of the National Mall, it's going to be like nothing you've seen.
I can't imagine how cool of an event. Now, assuming that the weather is good, and that's always the wild card in this, right? But assuming that there is good weather, I can't imagine how cool and patriotic of an experience that is going to be able to do the draft right there on the National Mall.
One of the things I'm really curious, they've not announced yet, is what is going to be the backdrop behind the stage on the mall? Are they going to use the Lincoln Memorial? Are they going to use the Washington Monument? how are they going to set it up so you have a patriotic background? I think that's going to be something really cool to see. And, you know, it's part of, I think, how the next 2 years for this country are going to be amazing, which we've got the World Cup, which soccer is not a sport that interests me as much as the NFL. But we've got the World Cup coming. We've got the Olympics. We've got the 250th anniversary. I mean, the next year is going to, it's good. Next couple of years for sporting events in this country is going to be amazing.
I know there's a lot of people around here that are very excited about the 250th anniversary of the country next year. And I sit on a county council in St. Charles here, and we passed a resolution recognizing that. And I know the governor is putting together a group for celebrating the 250th birthday of the country. I imagine in D.C. they're probably already getting ramped up for all big celebrations across D.C. next year.
It's going to be. And, you know, President Trump has put himself in charge of the committee. So you can only imagine what this is going to be like, because he likes big, over-the-top things. It's going to be wild.
I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait either. I think, and this is, 4th of July is my absolute favorite holiday in the entire world, because one, I love the summer and it's hot. Two, you just blow things up. You don't have to go over relatives for dinner. You don't have to go shop for presents and hope you got the size that fits. You just enjoy warm weather, food that's not good for you, and you watch things explode. It is the greatest holiday.
I love that. That sounds like a weekend when I grew up in the South. You know, you just watch stuff blow up and you eat a bunch of stuff that's not good for you. Jeff, what's on your agenda for this week? What are you going to be covering?
For this week, getting ready for the president's Middle East trip. One of the things that's coming due that I'm actually working on to a deep dive about is the IVF task force that the president has set up to look into recommendations for increasing IVF access. Their recommendations are due on May 19th. So that'll be here in, I would say it's the 6th, so that'll be here in less than 2 weeks. It'll be really interesting to see what they recommend. A lot of the religious coalition that sent President Trump to the White House objects to some IVF on religious grounds. It'll be interesting to see what this administration does, if anything, to appease them, if they can. And also, the IVF is an industry where there's not a lot of guardrails. It'll be interesting to see if they try to step up any kind of regulations in the industry. So there's going to be a lot to expect and a lot to look for when they come down with their recommendations.
Well, Jeff, we'll be following along with that. We appreciate your time today. This is White House correspondent for The Washington Times, Jeff Mordog. Jeff, thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you for having me, Mike. I always enjoy coming on here.